3. Jason watched the ship approach as if in a dream. It remained a black presence against the stars. It had no running lights. It must be in the shadow of the Millennium Falcon, he thought. The Force told him there was nothing there at all. It gradually moved from the umbra into the distant orange light of the nameless star a parsec below them, and now he could see details. Distances were deceiving in space. He couldn't tell how large it was. It was spicular, like two cones with their bases pushed together. Where the cones met, three finned, heart-like structures projected. These Jason recognized as Dovin Basils, living creatures that bent space, time, and gravity around themselves. There could be no doubt it was a Yuuzhan Vong ship, for it was made, rather grown, from the same Yurok coral Jason had seen so many times already. Its surface was roughened by numerous small welts, as if the ship had contracted Bakaran fever bumps. When he realized the bumps were coral skippers, the Yuuzhan Vong equivalent of starfighters, he suddenly grasped the scale. The thing was the size of a dreadnought, and it was coming for them. It was almost certainly what had yanked them so brutally out of hyperspace. Jason snapped out of his fog of confusion and pushed away from the bulkhead. He was in the dorsal gunner's turret. He'd been sitting there in contemplation before the sudden terrifying jolt. His head was bleeding, but not critically, so far as he could tell. He pulled himself quickly along the rungs of the ladder into the main cabin. He fought the feeling of falling. It had been a while since he had done any zero-G training. "Mom! Dad!" His voice rang in the silent ship. A primitive part of him cringed at the sound, warning him that the predator outside would hear him. It couldn't, of course, not through the vacuum. But human instincts were older than space travel. He got no answer. Frantic now, he pushed himself through the darkness to the cockpit. He found them there, and for a heart-stopping moment thought they were dead. So still were they in the Force. But both were breathing. "Dad," he gently shook his father's shoulder, but got no more than a reflexive response. Still gently, fear overcoming reluctance, he probed a little in the Force, suggesting the older man awake. Han Solo stirred. "Huh? Who's that?" Then he jerked fully alert, saw Jason, and pulled back his fist. "It's me, Dad," Jason said. Next to him, his mother began to stir too. He couldn't feel anything seriously wrong with either of them. They had both been strapped in their crash couches. "Jason," Han murmured. "What's going on? What happened?" "I was hoping you knew. As near as I can tell, we've been interdicted by a Yuuzhan Vong ship. It's out there right now. I don't think we have much time." Han rubbed his eyes and looked at the control panel, where a few feeble lights were still clinging to life. He let out a long, low whistle. "That's not good," he said.
"Han? Jason?"
Leia Organa Solo sat straighter in the crash couch.
"What's happening?"
"The usual," Han replied, flipping switches. A few more indicators came on. "Power systems offline, artificial gravity offline, emergency life support on its last legs, big ship full of bad guys outside."
"A really big ship," Jason added. "Just like old times," Leia sighed.
"Hey, I told you it would be like a second honeymoon." Han's voice dropped lower and grew more serious. "You all right?"
"I'm fine," Leia said. "I'm wondering what made us black out."
"Probably the same thing that fried the power couplings," Han remarked. Then his eyes widened.
"Oh, no."
"I told you it was big," Jason said, as their lateral drift brought the Yuuzhan Vong ship into view.
"Do something, Han," Leia said. "Do something now."
I'm doing, he muttered, working at the controls. "But unless someone wants to get out and push."
"Why aren't they doing anything?" Leia wondered.
"They probably think we're dead in space," Han replied. "They may be right."
"Yes, but..." She stopped. Two of the coral skippers had detached from the larger vessel and were coming toward the Falcon. Han unbuckled himself.
"Take my seat, Jason. I had a shielded power core installed, but the couplings have to be changed.
I'll do it."
"You don't know the Falcon well enough. You two stay up here. The second I give you power, go, and I mean go."
"We're too close. They'll snatch us with their Dovin basils."
"They'll snatch us for sure if we sit here."
He kicked back through the doorway and was gone, swallowed by the darkness beyond. The coral skippers continued to approach in no apparent hurry.
"Mom, look," Jason said, pointing.
Against the starfield were some brighter sparks drifting in a nebulous lens.
"What is it?"
"Something reflecting the light from the primary. A bunch of somethings. Ships," Leia said.
"Other ships they've interdicted."
"Uh-huh. Must be a dozen or more."
"Well," she sighed, "I guess we found out something useful on this trip. This isn't a safe route to smuggle Jedi through."
A series of curses drifted from somewhere in the back of the ship.
"Han?"
Leia shouted.
"Nothing. Hit my head,"
the answer came back. Another few moments of rummaging about, and then another, more colorful set of curses.
"It's going to take at least half an hour," Han called.
"We don't have that," Leia whispered. "They'll be boarding us any minute. If they even bother and don't just cut us to pieces."
"They'll bother," Jason said. "The Yuuzhan Vong hate to waste good slaves and sacrifices. I guess we'd better get ready to meet them."
He unclipped the lightsaber from his belt. Leia unbuckled herself and drew her own weapon.
"You let me deal with this, Mom. You're still favoring that leg.
Don't worry about me. I was doing this before you were born."
Jason was about to lodge another protest when he saw the expression on her face. She wouldn't be budged. As they passed the lounge, a growl that made Jason's hair stand on end prompted him to ignite the cold green flow of his lightsaber. Two sets of black eyes blinked at the light.
"Lady Vader," one snarled, "we fail you." "You failed no one, Atarak," Leia told her Nogri bodyguards. "Something put us all out."
"Your enemies are about Lady Vader?" the second Nogri, a female, Miwal, asked.
"They are. Atarak, you're with me. Meanwhile, you help Jason."
"No," Jason said. "Mom, you need them more than I do. You know it."
"The first son speaks right, Lady Vader," Meanwhile agreed.
Leia's eyes flashed at the insubordination.
"We don't have time to argue about this."
That was confirmed a heartbeat later, when something bumped against the hull, followed by a second, similar impact.
"What's that?" Han called up.
"Just get us some power," Leia called back.
"Fine. Both of you, with me. Jason, watch yourself. None of this not using the Force nonsense."
"I'm over that, Mom."
She kissed Jason quickly on the cheek.
"Watch out for my boy."
Then she pushed toward the cargo lifter, where the first impact seemed to have been. The Nogri went silently after her, as nimble in free fall as on foot. Jason shifted the grip on his lightsaber and found a handhold to steady his weightless body as he tried to figure out where the second border was. Within seconds, something began gnashing and grinding against the outer bulkheads, enabling him to locate it in the lounge. Moving slowly, he flattened as best he could against what would be the ceiling if the gravity came back on.
"Must be Grutchens," he thought.
Yuuzhan Vong technology was all biologically based. They used modified insectoid creatures to hull ships. There would be fumes from the acid, then, and maybe worse, but there was no time to seek vac suits. If the Yuuzhan Vong were simply going to open the ship to space, they'd all had it. But if the enemy wanted the Solos dead, they would have blasted them while the ship was powered down, since they had, at best, contempt for non-living tech and no use for the Falcon whatsoever. Knowing the Yuuzhan Vong, they were eager for live captives, not freeze-dried corpses. Jason calmed his mind and waited. Not much later, a hole appeared in the wall. As predicted, an acrid, choking stench came through, but not the feared explosive decompression of the cabin. Jason stayed out of visual range until something poked its head through an opening wide enough for a human to step through. Jason flicked on his lightsaber. Something like a huge beetle was revealed in the viridian light of his blade. Jason drove his point into its eye before it could even twitch. For what seemed a long moment, the energy blade refused to penetrate beyond the first few centimeters. The creature yanked its head back and forth violently, but Jason kept the point on until finally, with a sputter, it pushed in. The beetle spasmed and died. Jason came off the ceiling and, avoiding the steaming edge of the hole, hurled himself through the breach. A flexible coupling had attached itself to the outside of the ship. It was about 20 meters long. Halfway down its length, a Yuuzhan Vong warrior pulled himself along by means of a series of knobs protruding from the sides. Jason kicked against the projections nearest him, accelerating toward the Vong. His enemy was humanoid, with black hair plaited and knotted behind his head. His forehead sloped sharply down to dark eyes above swollen purplish sacks and an almost flat nose. He wore the characteristic Von Dune crab armor and carried an amphistaff coiled around one wrist. A savage grin appeared on his scarred and tattooed face, and he duplicated Jason's move. The amphistaff straightened, pointing at the young Jedi like a lance. When they were only about 4 meters apart, the staff spit something at him. If past experience was a guide, it was almost certainly poison. Jason reached for the whirling droplets in the Force, but it felt as if he were reaching through syrup. He stopped it within a few centimeters of his face, at the same time kicking the tube wall obliquely, so that he hurled up to the top of it. The warrior passed beneath him, running face first into the suspended toxin. Grimly, not looking back, Jason pulled out of the tumble his maneuver had resulted in and propelled himself toward the open hatch beyond. Behind him, the warrior stifled a hoarse cry. The coral skipper wasn't big, but it was big enough for two. He could see the second warrior just poking his head out. This time, there was no aerial joust. The Yuuzhan Vong waited for him, feet braced against something behind him, his amphistaff in guard position. They met in a stir of blows that killed Jason's momentum and sent him bouncing around the coupling, trying to reorient. The Yuuzhan Vong didn't budge, but continued to strike at Jason in a measured, conservative way. Jason found he had to fight one-handed, and used the other to anchor himself. He kept his lightsaber extended and his movements small. The next time the Yuuzhan Vong struck, Jason nailed him in the back of the hand. The warrior grunted and released the staff. With a snarl, he launched himself at Jason. The sudden attack took the young Jedi by surprise. The warrior managed to get his wrist in a lock, and the two went tumbling back through the tube. Too late, Jason realized his lightsaber was still on, slicing through the wall of the coupling like tissue. Needles were suddenly under his skin, trying to push themselves out. Desperate, Jason brought his elbow up beneath the Yuuzhan Vong's jaw. He felt teeth clack together, and his opponent let go. The slit, now 5 meters long, yawned into space, and the warrior floated right through. A moment later, the body of the first warrior followed him. Black spots dancing before his eyes, Jason managed to grab one of the knobs, but the slit was only a meter away and the pressure of an atmosphere was pushing him toward it. He was going to black out, and he knew it. Grimly, he flicked off his lightsaber and hooked it into his belt, then reached with his other hand and started pulling himself against the wind. His strength was fading fast, however, and even if he made it, it would only be a matter of time before the Millennium Falcon was empty of atmosphere. But he wasn't going to make it. He had failed, not just himself, but his mother and father as well. He reached again in the Force, trying to pull his mask back toward the Falcon. He managed the connection, but space had seeped into his head and darkness with it. He went out, so far as he could tell, for only a second. Wind was still whistling by, but it had faded to a thin shriek, and in the spots still dancing before his eyes, he saw what had saved him—the coupling. alive like all Yuuzhan Vong technology, was sealing itself. As he watched, the last few centimeters of the tear zipped themselves together. "Mom!" He could feel the hammering of her pulse behind him, and pain in her not-quite-healed legs. He propelled himself back into the Millennium Falcon, pushing himself madly toward the cargo lift area. It took him an instant to sort out that that battle was over, too. The Nogri were still dismembering one of the Yuuzhan Vong borders. The second floated near Leia. His head was drifting a few meters away. Han seemed to have just come in, brandishing a blaster. "Jason?" "Got both of them," he acknowledged grimly. "Great. Leia, you keep watch. Let us know if they send anything else our way. Jason, you check out those skips and figure out some way we can accelerate without opening ourselves to space." Right, Jason thought. The minute the drive went on, the coral skippers would exert their inertia. At some point, acceleration would make them massive enough to tear the couplings, no matter how strong they were. "I'm on it, Dad. And hang on before you engage the drive. I have another idea." "Always thinking." "That's my boy."